Okay, good morning. Good morning. It's so exciting to be here on a beautiful Monday morning. We're just praising the Lord for this day that He made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And this is Cammie Lehman, and I'm here standing in with all the gals for our Monday morning Bible study on behalf of Becky Spieth. I find it's just an honor that Becky invited me to come and share with you guys today. And I just want to share a really quick story before I get started. I guess it was in the summertime, and Becky and I know each other on many levels, but she's been my business coach for about a year and a half now, and I really feel like the Lord sent her directly to me. So I don't know if any of you have ever had that where you met someone and thought, thank you, Jesus, I was praying for you to send me this person, and they sent, here they come disguised as Becky Spieth. But one day I was in the hot tub in my backyard, and I was just heading out there, and I went to just sit in the hot tub. I had my hot tea, my good book, my sunglasses, if you can just imagine. I'm sinking into the hot tub, and the Lord said to me, you should tell Becky she needs to do a Bible study. And I'm like, what? I'm looking around like, who was that? Who said that? It was the strangest thing. So I get out of the hot tub, and I call Becky, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just got to tell you what the Lord said to me. She's like, what? I'm like, He said that I should tell you, you should do a Bible study. And she's like, I can't believe it. So I tell her the whole story. I got my tea, I have my book, I have my sunglasses, I'm sinking into the hot tub. She said, I can't believe it. She said, at that very moment, she said, I was in bed, in pain, praying, then wishing that my hot tub was fixed because I know that that would take my pain away and that all I wanted to do was to get into the hot tub because I knew it would help me. And I was like, I can't believe it. I was in the hot tub and the Lord said this. So really, that is the funniest thing because the Lord was working on her and then He used me as confirmation. So I just wanted to share that story with you because I know the Lord is working every day on us and He's always using someone as confirmation. So I think sometimes we need to settle our hearts and listen, and then you'll see what it is the Lord really wants you to do. Because I know there's so many times in my life that I'm like, Lord, really, is that from you? Because that sounds crazy, you know, and you think if it's crazy, how could it be from Him? But it really is, and remember that our ways are not His ways and that we don't always understand, but He has a bigger and better plan for us. So today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Paul as he sails to Rome. And so I don't know if any of you are familiar with the story, but you can find it in Acts chapter 27. And this story is just, this is the story that inspired what I wanted to talk about today, is what I heard on Friday. And then I did a little more research and praying about it, and the Lord really shared with me where to go. So the story is that Paul wanted to go to Rome. Paul really wanted to go to Rome. And if any of you know the story, Paul tried to get to Rome several times. And, many, many things got in his way and distracted him. And those many things were the Lord. Because even though the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, it's always in His timing, and He's always on time. He's never late. He's never early. We're the impatient ones. We're the ones who watch the clock and the calendar. And He's the one who shows up and delivers right on time every time. And so in Paul's journey to sail to Rome, he came across many, many obstacles. And what happened was he was in a ship, and the ship was having some trouble. The weather was bad, and a storm came. And his ship was tossing and turning, and, you know, and that is a scary thing. Imagine being in the middle of the water with over 200 people on this boat that you're responsible for. And here it is, tossing and flipping and turning, and you have no idea. There's nothing you can do. And, you know, don't you find that the Lord puts us in those positions sometimes? I think He strips us of all of our plans and all of the things that can help us out of situations so that He leaves us in a place where all we have is Him. Because that's really what He wants from us, is to and we resist. Why? I wonder sometimes, why do we resist that? Because He's all we need, and yet He has to always take us to that place where we remember that He's all we need. And so it was a scary time for them. And, you know, I know that if you think about some of the things in your life, you can think about feeling that feeling of insecurity and aloneness and you know, being all alone in the dark, in the middle of a body of water, on a little boat with a lot of people. That is freaky. And how scary that can be. And that can just be something you're going through in your life, whether it's an illness or a relationship or finances. Those same feelings are created, just a different situation. So you have to think, like, what's your ship? Where are you and what is your ship and who are these people? And what I think is really cool is that, you know, through all of this, the Lord is speaking to Paul, and he's making promises to him, and he's telling him, you know, you're not going to lose anyone, and you're going to get there, and you just have to stay with the ship and do what I say, and, you know, trust me. And so God is promising him, and so, but he was listening, and I think that's, you know, another thing is humans, we fail to listen. We're so busy going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, you know, we're begging, and, you know, all of that, and we're worried, and we're scared, and we're telling everybody, because we feel better if we can just tell everybody what's crazy going on in our life. And if we would just stop and listen, the Lord would tell us everything that we need to know. And so in this journey, they had to do some crazy things. They had to throw things overboard. So think about, like, in your life, in the situations that you're in, what do you need to throw overboard? What is weighing down your ship that maybe you need to let go of, that you need to throw overboard, whether it's a bad relationship or forgiveness, or bad habits, or sin, or whatever. You open your minds and think, what is it that's holding you from that destination that you're trying to make, that you feel that God's calling you? And what might you need to throw overboard? And these people even had to swim to shore. They ran aground. They were shipwrecked. They swam to shore. It was crazy. And at one point, they were going to get in the lifeboat, and the Lord told them, if you have to stay with the ship or you're never going to make it. So they cut the ropes of the lifeboat and let the lifeboat go. So imagine, that's like burning your ship. Like, you, there's no plan B. You are just, this is it. You are letting go of everything. And those are like our crutches and our securities. That's our lifeboat. So what is your lifeboat? What do you need to cut the ropes on today and let go of and just let, watch it go? And know that no matter what, that God has you. And so I just want you to know that, you know, the moral of the story is that you do have to go through lots of storms to reach your goals and to take the journey that God has prepared you for. And that you want to be excited about that when you have obstacles, or you want to be prepared if you don't have obstacles, because they're coming. There's no way that you can live for the Lord and be all that he's intended you to be and not have obstacles in your life. And I'm going to share with you in another section what that's about. So just know that either get excited about the obstacles and say, thank you, Lord, be grateful, thank you that you're giving me these obstacles. That means I'm making progress in the direction of my journey. And again, be prepared for them if they're not there now. And just be prepared to know that you may have to throw some things overboard. And so sometimes your ship might get wrecked. If you run aground, if you do run aground, you're going to find out how much you know yourself and how much you know God. And just know that even in a shipwreck, God can turn things around, because the worst things that happen to you turn out to be the best things. And I think probably you guys would agree that when you're going through trials, you always feel like, it can't get any worse than this. I can't take any more. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And yet when it's over and you look back, you think, wow, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't happen and I wouldn't be here. And so really those things are all for a reason. And see, Paul knew who he was. He knew where he was going, and he knew what his goal was. And that's the part where you need to really be strong in that and be sure that you're knowing where you're going and what your goals are lined up with what the Lord has and what his calling is for your life. And then we just need to look at Paul and just kind of model him for how he was in his attitude through all of this. He was positive. He was encouraged. He listened. He didn't try to take things in his own hands. He listened to the Lord when the Lord spoke to him. He wasn't focused on the journey. He was focused on the destination. And I think we need to remember that, is not to confuse your path with your destination. That sunny days always come after the storm, and that Paul did amazing things because he knew who he was in Christ and he knew where he was going. And so eventually he did make it to land, and he got everyone to land, and everyone was safe just like they promised. And then he built a fire and got bit by a viper. Crazy, right? After all of that, you think, oh, we made it, we're safe. And then he builds a fire and gets bit by a viper. And he should have died, because when you get bit by a viper, especially back then, you die. That's just the way it is. And so the people on this land, they said, oh, my gosh, he must be a murderer, because look at all that he's going through. So, what, you know, he got saved from the shipwreck, but then he gets bit by a deadly viper. And all of a sudden they say, he must be a murderer. And then he doesn't get sick and die. And minutes later in the next sentence, it says, he must be a god. And I just want you to remember that, because it doesn't really matter what other people think. It only matters what God thinks. Because in 1 minute you could be a murderer, and the next minute you could be a god. And that's how people are. That's how people judge us, and that's how people are in the world. And so I want you to always remember that. It doesn't matter what other people think or say. It only matters what Jesus thinks and Jesus says. And so I'm just going to wrap this up with in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Or actually, it's chapter 11. And no, it is 12, where Paul's boasting about his sufferings. And this is what he says, and this is really what I want to end this with today. He says, let's see, I don't want to read too much, but he says in chapter 12, I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to take you back to chapter 11. Where he says, what anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. And as he ends, he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. Does that sum it up? So I guess my question now is, how many of us feel like we've been through what Paul's been through? Do we have anyone on the line?
We've all muted our phones.
Well, come on back. Come on back.
I kind of feel like I have in a way. Just, I guess I have a son who is autistic, trying to get the doctors to, and the professionals to, I guess, make the right diagnosis and see what I see, and that type of thing has been very difficult. And then I tried to go back to work a year ago, and it didn't work out well, but I loved the job, but it didn't work because of my son. And it was just like, I have a deaf husband, so he doesn't really get my son. He doesn't, you know, doesn't quite know what to do. He's a dad for like that, but he goes to the brother, you know. So I just felt like I was just in over my head. And the Lord spoke to me and said, take a year off. So I stopped everything. I stopped everything. All of doing, volunteering, everything. And then it's really hard for me because people say, oh, can you do something? No, I can't. I've taken a year off from my family. Other than doing Pampered Chef because, you know, that is helping my family right now. But it just really, it's put life into perspective, and it's put my place in this world into perspective, and I've seen quite a bit.
Awesome. So I'm sure with having said all that, there are many times that you felt in the dark alone in a boat, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking that as you're talking. I'm thinking, yes, I can see it. I can see it. And you're being tossed.
I have an IEP with my son, for my son, in a couple weeks, and I'm like feeling really alone in a boat right now.
Well, leave it to Jesus, right, to deliver the message today to you at the perfect time. That's all I can say. It is the truth, right?
On my team's website and my team's Facebook page, I'm like, has anybody liked this? Because this message is really speaking to me.
Oh. Now, and who is this speaking right now? Is this Bonnie?
This is Bonnie, yes.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. You're really good with voices and memory.
I try. Okay, is there anybody else who just had an aha moment or felt like the Lord just really delivered the message that they needed?
Yeah, me, definitely.
And that's Sarah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah. Awesome.
We've had a lot going on in my family, personally. Right now, a lot of health things. I've been sick. You probably can hear it in my throat. My papa is really bad. Possibly, we don't know how long, you know, he has.
Yeah,
and
that's tough.
Just my mom with surgery. But, like, through it all, like, kind of like what you were talking about, like, my sister was home this weekend with my nephew, and, like, there's so much joy and, like, people really coming together, and I don't know, like, for all the bad, there's a lot of good, so it's like, I don't know. But I actually kind of was thinking about this message a little bit before we even got on the call, so like it was funny that it got brought up, but I've just been thinking about like what I pray and how I pray it and what I really want to focus to talk to the Lord about, because it just seems like there's so much, and you just talked about listening, which I think it was a good message too.
Awesome. Well, hang on just a second. I'm going to stop the recording.